The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
All right. Let's just pray before we begin, okay? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today, this morning, Lord. We pray that we can submit to the authority of your word. It is your word that nourishes, it sustains, it encourages, it teaches us, it rebukes us. But most of all, Lord, your words are the words of eternal life. We thank you, Father, this morning. Your word clearly says that your word shall not go astray, but shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. So we ask you, Heavenly Father, that your word permeate our spirit today. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness this morning, Lord, as we submit to the authority of your word. We thank you. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. The last time. Can anybody remember what I spoke about the last time? Right? The Ten Commandments. Oh, okay. Somebody listened. It's good. So last time we spoke about the Ten Commandments, you can put the slide up, thanks, Richard. And we spoke and we said it was the very heart of our parliamentary structure. It was the very core of society and how it encompassed our family rights, our property rights, and even the rights of God. And that the idea of God having rules for the way we live sort of made a lot of us feel very uncomfortable these days. Why? Because we want to be masters of our own destiny. We saw where the Ten Commandments were in the Bible. Anybody remember? Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Okay? And then we spoke about how it deals with our behavior towards God. We actually started right at the bottom. We spoke on the last one. And we're sort of working our way through. We're eventually going to come right to the top. We spoke how it deals with our behavior towards God, how it deals with our behavior towards other people. And it also spoke on the last one, which is about our thoughts. And the last time we spoke on coveting and the dangers of wanting what we haven't got. And the effects that the wrong desires that we have can have on our actions. And we spoke about how covetousness promises fulfillment and contentment, but it never actually delivers what it promises. And then I gave you some positive advice on how we can counter covetousness by keeping our hearts in shape and letting God shape our desires rather than the world. And how we need to adopt an attitude of gratitude to be content in every situation. And not to allow covetousness to take away our focus from God. From what we have and what we don't have. And to remember that we're just stewards, not owners of what we have. God owns everything. And we need to focus on our relationships and not things, not material things. We're living in a world that's materialistic. And then lastly, to combat covetousness, we spoke about how we ought to be givers. Instead of being concerned about amassing a whole lot of things, we spoke about today's society or how we all want to shop till we drop. We spoke about the attitude of giving, because giving is an antidote to materialism and it's a cure for covetousness. Can you all hear me all right? Okay. So that's what was basically in a nutshell. So we're going to move on to the next one, which is thou shalt not give... I can't read it from here without my glasses. So I'll just read it out. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. So that's the ninth commandment. And you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, see, today we're surrounded by words. You're listening to words all the time. You listen to it on television. You listen to it on radio, telephones, books, faxes. Words are everywhere. But a lot of the words are not true. It's hard to resist smiling, you know, and listen to some of the words. I've written down some of the things you hear. You smile in disbelief, some of the things. Here's one. The check is in the mail. You heard that one? I'll start my diet tomorrow. Here's another one. I've done that. Here's one. Give me your number and I'll call you back. Here's a classic. Money cheerfully refunded. Call you ladies, one size fits all. Congratulations, you've just won a prize in our $50,000 draw. Doesn't that come up on computer a lot, doesn't it? And here's a classic. Open wide, this won't hurt a bit. I see, that's the loss of truth in the public world is well known. So often you hear of cases of claims and counterclaims of lying. Only not so long back, a few years ago, we saw Bill Clinton lose his reputation. His reputation completely shattered when he publicly announced on worldwide television about his sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. Jeffrey Archer was another one. Multi-millionaire, author, politician, had to drop out of the election because he got one of his friends to lie in court for him. Recently there was Robert Hughes, Rolf Harris, and only just recently Bill Cosby, allegedly. That's a funny thing. That's another thing. I'll talk about that a little later. We've got, I don't know if it happens over here. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm not too sure if it happens over here. But in America, they've got a thing called the statute of limitations. In other words, if something happened 20 years ago and it was forgotten, it doesn't really matter now. It never happened. Strange, isn't it? It doesn't work with God, though. So, but the problem is not just high-profile people. It's ordinary people. It's at all levels. In fact, when you think about it, we actually lie about lying. We lie at work. Oh, that only took a 15-minute break. Really. We lie about our expenses. We lie at home. No, honey, your bottom doesn't look fat in that dress at all. It's true, isn't it? I tell my mom that. Yeah. We lie to the tax man. Yeah, those are all necessary expenses, yeah. We lie to the doctor. Of course I regularly exercise. We lie to the police. Speed limit? I didn't know there was a speed limit there. Crap. Yeah, lies are everywhere. It's almost impossible to tell the truth these days. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so that's what the Ninth Commandment tackles today. It's the whole issues of truth and lies. You know, most of the time when we're lying, what we're really doing is we're shifting the blame from us onto somebody else or to something else. But the thing is, lies have a price tag. Someone's got to pay. But our love affair with lies goes even deeper than that. We love to gossip. Psst. Did you hear that? Drinks a lot. We love it. You know, we love him. Yeah. Check out that girl. Hasn't had an affair with so many blokes. We love it. We love gossip. You know? Newspapers, they're the biggest liars. They're the ones who dish out the grimiest dirt. Spread the biggest rumors. Doesn't matter if they're true or not. Why? Because it sells. As long as they're tasty, as long as the stories are, you know, the grimier the better. They used to have a magazine, I don't know if they've got it now, it used to call a newspaper called The Truth. Packed full of lies. The whole paper was full of lies. I used to buy it. Not because it's there, I used to buy it for the racing page. A long time ago. But we shake our heads, you know, when we see gutter journalism. But and we're quick to pass judgment. We want to pass our own opinions, you know. There's those who think that the only difference between truth and lies is your own viewpoint. Everything hinges on where you stand and which way you look. We say each person is entitled to his own opinion. No one can say what's an absolute truth. Don't you hear people say that? And so this has become like a widespread view. And we say the only thing that really matters is what you believe. You see, but the thing is, the Bible doesn't pull any punches. The Bible says God is truth. But men and women, we prefer lies. See, the Bible talks about God's character. At the very center of it lies truth. Throughout the Bible, you just notice one thing. There's a contrast. There's a contrast between light and darkness, good and evil, right and wrong, love and hatred, and truth and lies. It's quite interesting, actually, because Jesus himself called Satan the father of lies. And he pointed out a contrast between him and his heavenly father. One of the terrifying things I've read in the Bible is this, that everything hidden or secret will eventually be brought to light. Here's what Jesus had to say. Can we have the next slide, thanks, Richard? Matthew 12:36, he says, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." That's pretty scary. There's some people today talk about the 11th commandment, "Thou shalt not get caught." That's interesting. You notice, people, how remorseful they are after they've done something wrong. You notice it on television. And once their wrongdoing has been publicly exposed, they burst into tears. They have insight. On hindsight, they have insight. I was talking about America and, you know, just about the statute of limitations and how people today believe that if something happened 20 years ago and it was forgotten, well, it never really happened. But that law doesn't cut it with Christ. It's not a question of whether we be found out or not. We've already been found out. The sad thing is one day everyone else will find out. Unless, of course, you belong to him, in which case you'll never be put to shame. The Bible says that. Now, we don't lie all the time about everything. We just like to modify the truth, just a tiny bit. We want to bend the truth a bit. The truth is we actually lie to deny. You know, so long ago, I read in the papers about a guy who met with a terrible accident. His car was a write-off. And when the police caught up with him, it turned out that he was drunk. 6 times over the legal limit. Rather than face up to the fact and to admit his own responsibility, here's what he did. He took the owner of the pub to court and he said, this guy was responsible for all the drink that I had. You find lots of cases like that. We all do similar things. We want to deny accountability. That's the thing. We come up with all sorts of explanations, all sorts of excuses for our own shortcomings. We say it's our parents' fault. It's our schools. Yeah. They brought me up badly. It's our genes. Not these genes. It's our hormones. Our environment. We don't want to accept responsibility. I've written you a nice poem. It was written by a lady who shall remain anonymous. But it was quite funny, so I wrote it down. It says, I went to my psychiatrist to be psychoanalyzed, to find out why I killed the cat and blackened my husband's eyes. He laid me on a couch to see what he could find. And here's what he dredged up in my subconscious mind. When I was one, my mummy hid my dolly in a trunk. And so it follows naturally that I am always drunk. When I was 2, I saw my father kiss the maid one day. And so that's the reason now I've turned out to be gay. When I was 3, I had the feeling of ambivalence towards my brothers. And so it follows naturally, I poisoned all my lovers. But I'm happy now I've learned the lesson this has taught, that everything I do is wrong. It's someone else's fault. Isn't that clever? It's so true, isn't it? You see, that's the universal temptation has come to evade responsibility, has come down from generation to generation. It actually started in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. You know the story of Adam and Eve? That actually illustrates the very heart of human problems. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they hid, trying to get away from the consequences of what they had done. And what did they do? Instead of owning up, Adam He tried to pin the blame on Eve. Hey, her fault. He even tried to blame God. The Bible says that. He even tried to blame God. He said, the woman that you gave me. In other words, it's your fault. Hey, the woman that you gave me. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, so God should take some of the blame. And then when the questioning shifted to the woman, what did she say? She blamed the snake. Of course, the snake never had a leg to stand on. That's funny. So that's the characteristic of human beings today. You know? So we want to duck responsibility. We want to shift the blame to someone else. And so that's what the ninth commandment actually deals with. You know, when Jesus was summoned before Pilate, at one point, he responded to one of his questions when he said, what is truth? Pilate asked him, what is truth? And Jesus said this, he said, for this reason I was born, and the reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. It's funny, here was standing before Pilate, the very one who was the truth, the life, and the way. And yet Pilate was so blinded by lies that he actually couldn't see it. You know, people talk to me today and they say, you know, Russell, if Jesus were to come down today, I'd believe. That's a lot of crap. You know, we'd do exactly the same thing as they did to him those days ago. First, we would try to change his views. Then we'd try to silence him. And when that failed, we would kill him. It's a true fact. Just think about this. See, Jesus wasn't executed by morons, lunatics. They were educated, sophisticated people. Religious people who wanted to preserve the system. They wanted to maintain the status quo. Only human beings. That's the scary thing. So how do we what's time? So how do we go ahead and combat this sort of tendency to tell lies? So I'm gonna give you a few suggestions. No point giving you a law and then not showing you how to combat it. So first of all, James tells us in the Bible that the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. We have the next slide thing. Here's what James says. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. The tongue is very evil. It's only a small piece of flesh in our bodies, little, you know. But it's very hard to keep it in control. It's our greatest asset, but it's the most destructive possession we have. We've all been hurt. We've all been wounded by cruel comments. Not have we been wounded by it, but we've actually dished it out ourselves. Someone once said, don't talk unless you can improve the silence. See, even at the simplest level, lying poses a problem. Gets us in hot water. More times than if we had actually told the truth. Abraham Lincoln said this. Have we got the next slide? Yes. These are all good words. No one has a good enough memory to become a successful liar. Cover up one lie, we need another. and another and another. And the more lies we tell, the greater the danger. Shakespeare said, what did he say? He said, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. But if we start to destroy our ability to detect what is wrong in our own lives, another thing we need to do is shun gossip. Gossip falls under this 9th commandment. Because we're talking about our neighbor, and most times it's false. But we all love to tell a bit of gossip. You know why? Because it's juicy. Not because it's true, but because it's juicy. Here's what Proverbs has to say about that. Can we have the next slide? Thanks, Richard. Richard? Oh, Richard. No? Okay. You're on the ball there, man. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's innermost parts. There's a bigger serious problem about lying. Once we start, the awareness of doing something wrong is not there anymore. We can't detect the difference between what is wrong in our own lives. You know? We need to shun gossip because gossip falls under the 9th commandment. So, have I said that? I'm on the wrong page. So we need to be people who do not gossip. We need to monitor what we say. And the best way to do that is ask yourself this one question. If what was written down, if what you say was actually written down, would you be able to sign it? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Another guideline is ask yourself, how would we feel if the person we were talking about was actually standing at the side of you? So, but more than just stopping gossip, we need to be able to shun gossip. We need to actually stop gossip. The moment you hear somebody gossip, we need to walk away and say, hey, don't need to listen to that. If you don't mind, I'd rather not talk about it. That way you earn respect, you avoid gossiping, and there are lots of better things you can talk about. And it's funny, gossip can only start when you're in a crowd. It only takes one person to start, and you automatically join in. Isn't it true? But before you know it, you're in the conversation. So, next thing is, have no secrets. Okay? Some secrets you can have, if you've got a bank account and you've got a PIN number, don't share it with anyone. Some secrets you've got to keep. Surprise birthday party. Oh, so-and-so's having a surprise. Oh, really? How come you're telling me? Don't talk about your medical history, man. We don't want to know. There are also bad secrets, you know. Many people have done things in their past, and unless you want somebody to pray for you, that's a different thing. You don't get up on the speaker, oh man, I mugged somebody 3 days ago. We don't want to know. Okay, there's some things you need to deal with. Go to a professional. If you've got problems and you need professional help, ask someone to pray for you. Go to your pastor. He's always available. Is that right, Lynn? Okay. And of course, if you've got things, and some things, you need to go to the police or you need to go to... So, Another thing is, be an encourager. Speak the truth, but it's important to do it in love, okay? I'll tell you a story about Winston Churchill. He was sitting at a meeting one day, and one of his MPs was sitting at the same dinner party, and she said, "Sir," she said, "Mr. Churchill, I don't wish to debate with you because you're drunk." And he immediately retorted, he said, "Madam, I may be drunk, but you're ugly. And I'll be sober in the morning.
But you'll still be ugly."
Now, here's the thing. It's a funny line, clever reply, but it was hurtful. And he probably earned himself an enemy for life. You know? So we need to think before we talk. Actually think. Yeah. Can we have the next slide? Here's a good one. T. Ask yourself this. Is it true? H. Will it help? I. Is it inspiring? N. Is it necessary? K. Is it kind? Think before you speak. I've got that on my desk. Not that it means anything, but it's a constant reminder for myself. You know, because sometimes we do it. We all do it. We're all guilty of it. You know, but it's a constant reminder, and it helps me to go through the day to be careful of what you say. Sometimes the words you say can not only be hurtful, it could impact a person's life. You know, it could be detrimental to somebody. So, another thing is, when you're encouraging someone, try to avoid slipping into flattery. "Oh, you got a lovely dress on." You don't really mean it, but, you know, because flattery is sort of insincere praise. You know, compliment, we can compliment someone without trying to get something out of them. Well, some people do that. They don't really mean what they say. They just encourage. Try to encourage people and praise what is good. When Paul wrote this, he wrote to the Philippians, he said this. He said, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." And the last bit of advice I'll give you is, be true to your word. Jesus said this. He said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." Broken promises hurt relationships. They cause pain. Spread mistrust, and it means just be prepared to say no rather than break your word later. It's better to say no. So the ninth commandment, if you can go back to the first one, thanks, Richard. That's what it deals with. Now, this matter. We treat words far too lightly. So if we want to have a healthy society and we want to have a good relationship with not just our own families, but with people, then we need to bring before God what we say so that we can be known as trustworthy people. Men and women who are honest and fair. I thank you all for listening. I hope some of these words have sunk in. I try to make a reminder for myself each day. And may God bless each and every one. Thank you.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon.
If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.